and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Lowry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Frank Film Club. We've had a really long break and we're so excited to be back in the hot seats speaking about some excellent films this series, so buckle in. First up, we've got the Barbie movie, which this episode is brought to you by Propercorn, one of my favourite movie snacks. You might actually remember last year when all the Barbie frenzy was going on that Propercorn released a Barbie pack of pink sweet popcorn.
So good.
Love that.
Love that for them.
Delicious.
Are you girls sweet or salty?
I'm such a mixture. I love a bit of both.
Well, you're sweet and salty.
I'm sweet and salty.
I like salty. I love salty popcorn. And I love Propercorn salty popcorn too, because it's like quite clean, you know?
Mm. What about you?
I've always been a sweet gal, but I like sweet and salty at the moment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Although I do have to say the cinnamon flavoured popcorn one is delicious, which is a sweet one, but that was just like a whole out there thing that I'd never tried before.
And how exciting that we have our first episode in collaboration with Propercorn. Like,
very fitting.
What a perfect, yeah, I know, perfect movie snack. Like, this is ideal. We are so excited to be bringing you this episode in collaboration with Propercorn. And if you don't know, Proper are the proud makers of both Propercorn and Proper Chips, and they all taste banging, and they're all made up with like natural flavors and seasonings, and they're vegan and they're gluten-free and what else, girls?
Delicious.
Truly. So why don't you sit back, crack open a bag of Propercorn and watch us chat all things Barbie.
Hi everyone. We are back. I can't believe it. It's been so long and we'll explain a little bit about why it's been so long. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, strikes and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're so glad to be back, Frank Film Club. We've got a new little recording space and a lot of films to get through. We're going to be talking about a lot of the blockbusters that we missed last year and some of the ones that are coming out this year for award season that is kind of going on around this time. Or has just passed. We're recording a little bit behind. But first of all, I want to catch up everybody on like where we've been and what we've been up to. So yeah, what have we been doing?
It's been such a crazy year. We've been working on a bunch of really exciting things at Wrapped, our production company, which I'll let you spill on a little later. But yeah, I mean, there was a huge strike, writer strike, and then actor strike. And so a lot of my work kind of was put on hold for a long time, and especially the podcast. And so really I spent time moving into my house and walking my dog and watching movies, really. That's kind of all I've been up to, and falling in love. Obviously you guys know I fall in love all the time. Lots of lovely people that I've fallen in love with.
So that's been our story time rather than talking about films.
Yeah. Yeah. Story time has really just been like who I've been falling in love with each week rather than catching up on what movies we've been watching. But yeah, it's been amazing. It's been a good year.
And you've had a whole TV show?
So since the strike ended, my TV show that I shot in 2022 called The New Look, it's on Apple TV Plus, and I'm really glad that we got to release it after the strike so as I can post about it, talk about it, and get more people to watch it. So yeah, I'm really proud of this one. So watch it. I'm watching you.
We're currently closing finance on our first feature film, which we'll be shooting this year, which is really, really exciting and has been a long time coming, it feels like now.
But it's been great. Just glad to be back.
Yeah.
But what have you been up to, Han?
You've been busy, Han.
I've been busy growing a human inside my actual body.
That's crazy.
Birthing said human and then raising the human.
Wow.
That's a lot. And it's been amazing. And also just working out what I'm like as a human now with a baby to look after. And like how work fits into that. But it's been really lovely, and I've had a great time with Daisy. Her name is Daisy Love, and my partner Warren. We've had a really nice time, but work is still like busy and ticking over, and we're going to have a busy year as well. So I feel like this year now is going to be a lot of things that we've had cooking over the last few years are coming to fruition, because I've had stuff in development for years as well.
It seems to be coming through.
So, yay.
It's all happening.
Yeah, it really does feel like that. It feels like, I don't know, COVID, the strikes, like everything's been kind of up in the air for a long time. And it is a really exciting time. Feels like things really are coming to a head. Yeah. So that's cool.
Hope so.
We all deserve it.
Yeah, definitely. And I know like a lot of people in the industry have dropped out around this time. Or some people have had to struggle through and find other work. And I think we're really lucky that we're still doing what we like and we've made it through. Well, alongside all of that, we're going to be obviously back with a podcast talking about films. And obviously, we couldn't start on any other film than the major blockbuster that was Barbie that came out last year.
Right before the strike. Well, right before the actors' strike started. Yeah.
I think the premiere was like right... The day of.
Well, wasn't there some sort of conspiracy that they had waited until Barbenheimer
had done their premieres, at least? So they had done a couple of press days. I heard that rumor too.
Well, it worked for them because, I mean, this film, Barbie, has taken like 1.5 billion.
Billion
at this point.
Wow.
So, it worked for them. Well done them, but boo for everybody else who wanted to promote a film. Okay. So Barbie came out in 2023, 21st of July 2023, and was directed by Greta Gerwig, starring Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, Kate McKinnon, Issa Rae, Simu Liu, Kingsley Benadire, and Shruti Gatwa, plus a load of other cameos and amazing actors.
John Cena, for example.
Well, precisely. Dua Lipa. Yeah.
Dua Lipa. Indeed. Dua Peep.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Don't worry.
So, first of all,
I thought that this was a really fun film. It was, like, great fun. I've watched it a few times. We'll get into the details of my thoughts. But the first time we went and watched... Well, we all watched this together.
Yeah.
When on that day, the day that it came out, the 21st of...
July.
God, that's weird that that stuck with us. But we went to go see it. It was like really good fun. Everyone was dressed up. It was great fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that's how I would describe this film, is great fun.
Truly. Yeah. I mean, I felt like the first time I watched this film with you all, I like cackled laughing and then also sobbed crying. Like, couldn't stop crying at the end of the film. I was crying on, I mean, I had also had a half a bottle of wine. And it's nothing to do with that. It's purely to do with the film. But I just sobbed into your chest, I actually remember.
Yeah,
and yeah, just really an amazing, really an amazing film. Have since had more critical thoughts about it.
Yeah.
But the point is that a movie like this so often flops so hard and is just like so disappointing. And after the amount of build up that it had, the fact that it was entertaining, fun, made me laugh, made me cry. I was like, this is all we ask for. Like, this is all we're asking for from a cinema experience. And I think that feels like a rare thing sometimes, I don't know, in some of these big blockbusters. And so just rate it still now for that reason, but we can get into like the details.
Yeah, completely rate it. And actually, when I see critical conversations around it, and definitely there's some points about it that I think maybe didn't need to be in there for me personally. Mm-hmm. But when I see somebody completely flat out trash the film, I'm like, absolutely
no.
Like,
no, we're not doing that.
No, it's well structured. Mm. It's got great references in there. I think it's for everyone. I know kids, and they've been to see it, and they love it.
Yeah.
And then Warren, who was really excited about Oppenheimer, said that he preferred Barbie.
There we go.
And he's like a man, you know? So, I mean, like, not that that's... But he would never think that he would be interested in a Barbie film. So I think it dances that line of adult-child film perfectly.
Yeah.
But it has a message, and it doesn't ram it down your throat too much. I was going to ask you if you have any... Let's start with personal connections to Barbie. Like, did you have any expectations of what you thought Barbie was going to be? Did you play with Barbies when you were younger?
I was never bought Barbies, but I was looked after by my auntie, who was a childminder, and she had a big box of Barbies. And I think what I was most excited about when I saw the posters was like Kate McKinnon's Barbie being like all messed up with crazy hair and like paint on her face, because that was my favorite thing to do with the Barbies, and like put them in the Barbie dream car and like race them across the pavement as fast as they can go, so as they fly out and land in a bush. And I thought like, oh wow, they're really going there. And I love that it was set in that like false world, you know, like in the Barbie dream world, because like it was really hard to know what this film was going to be about, really, like as a biopic of this woman. But the fact that it was set there in this imaginary world where all of these Barbies were behaving the way that we used to like operate them, you know, I kind of love that. But yeah, I mean, I used to, there have been many Barbies that are unsafe and probably in the bin because of my actions. And I'll do it again because it was great fun.
I love that you did it.
Yeah, I think I had a Barbie, and but I think I cut her hair because my mum's a hairdresser. So we were always like, she has like hairdresser and scissors.
Actually
gave my Barbie an excellent it was definitely not good, but that was always good fun.
Yeah,
to do the Barbie haircutting.
Yeah,
but then I think I was actually, I had like I remember Polly Pockets more.
Ooh,
than playing with Barbie.
I never played with Barbies when I was younger. I was not I liked like, I don't know, sticks and
sticks and mud.
Yeah, worms, etc. So, viewing experience, we went to see it in the cinema. We were obviously there for the opening night, and then we were fully swept up. We were not wearing pink, was I?
None of us wore pink. No. We looked like
Scrooges.
We had
been to see Oppenheimer before.
Yeah, but we also weren't wearing black.
Probably was wearing black.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's your thing.
Just to briefly touch on that whole thing, do you think that it worked to go and see Oppenheimer and Barbie on the same day? Like, how did you feel after that day?
No, it was hell, in my opinion.
No, I was really happy after we came out of Barbie. When we came out of Oppenheimer, I was knackered.
Yeah.
And was so excited to go see Barbie. So I think it probably ruined Oppenheimer more for me, because I was just like, I don't want to be watching that at lunchtime.
Mm. Yeah.
I want to go have fun now. So I don't know. But I was glad that we got involved with the hype of it all.
Totally.
Just to say that we did it. It was more of that, wasn't it?
I think
Oppenheimer's like a Friday night, go to the cinema rather than going out and having a drink or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a strange thing to go and see in the middle of the day.
Yeah, it was. That was a weird idea.
Yeah. Anyway, we did it.
Who came up with that idea?
And the thing is as well, we're speaking about the strikes. We went to see it, just so everybody knows, we went to see it and do Barbenheimer because we were going to be recording episodes. Mm-hmm. We did social media content, which is now going to be in the bin because obviously, well out of date, guys.
Yeah. Let us know. Email us if you want to see our out of date Barbie content.
Very out. I was severely pregnant as well.
Yeah, we couldn't really get away with that being anything.
We were doing it as part of the podcast, but then we couldn't release anything. Mm-mm. So anyway, it was a great day. So the story, you were saying obviously that you weren't sure what this was going to be about. Obviously, I think everybody was sort of guessing, how are they going to make a story out of a plastic doll? What do you think about the message and what the film is trying to achieve with what it's saying?
Gotta say, I'm still perplexed. I went to watch it again, and I think after the movie, I went to you both and I was like, yeah, still got some questions around the plot. And you both were like, what? Yeah. Like, that was like the most straightforward film ever, which it was. And it sounded like hilarious when I said it then, having had half a bottle of wine and cried in your chest. You know? I just got some questions about the plot. But when I went to watch it again, I like really tried to go in like way more objectively, tried to be like, okay, what if I didn't love this film? And I tried to really, I was like sitting there with my arms crossed, like, okay, I'm going to really try and find like critical things about this film. Honestly, I still loved it. I still cried. I still laughed. And it was like spectacular. But the one thing I will say was that like the setup with Kate McKinnon, what is it? What's she called? Fucked up
Weird
Barbie?
Barbie.
Weird Barbie. Barbie.
Yeah. I don't think that is PG-13.
Well, Yeah, with Weird Barbie. And she's like, your girl who plays with you is like miserable. And so that's why you've got flat feet now. And so you need to go to the real world, take the Birkenstocks, head to the real world, make her happy again, and then Barbie world will go back to the way it was. Is that what she said? I feel like that's what she said.
Yeah, basically.
She gets there, realizes it's not Sasha, it's her mum, Gloria. Gloria is sad still. Gloria comes with her back to Barbie land. The men have taken over. They are having the time of their lives. Please do stop me if I'm missing anything. No. They're having the time of their lives. The Barbies are miserable.
Well, they're not miserable. Oh, they're actually the having quite a lot of
you're
fun.
You're right. The Barbies are kind of loving the patriarchy. Yeah. They're like, patriarchy is kind of... Mm. And I've had thoughts like that before in my time. Not as frequently as I've had thoughts that contradict that. But, and then they all trick the Kens, vote themselves back into power, rule Barbie land again. Ken doesn't know what to do with himself. At the end of all this, was Gloria happy?
I guess
I'm
so.
I'm confused.
I know what you mean, yeah. But also, I feel like I just didn't really think about it that much. Like, no, in terms of, like, how, yeah.
I haven't thought about what the, like, call to action is until you've just done that whole play-by-play of the whole entire plot.
You're welcome.
What I'm thinking of when I'm saying, what do you think the message? I'm thinking of just the patriarchy stuff her finding her... self.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was two stories running in tandem. And I'm really glad because, as you say, this is a film for men as much as it is for women. And the fact that Ken had such a strong storyline was a critical take that a lot of people had on this film. But I don't think that that is a critical take. But I think that that is more important of, like, as the main story than the whole setup was. And I just think that if I had to have a critical thing to say about this film, it's that it took us down a path and then it switched courses and it brought us back again. And it was very fun. I think that when Gloria's giving her, like, feminism speech, her third wave feminism speech, I was like, who is this about again? I'm confused. This is too much.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Definitely. Mm. I think my brain has just gone, not it doesn't matter. Really remembered that part of the plot, but it is an important part of the plot, obviously, because that speech that she gives, America Ferrera, is like very important, integral part of the film.
During Gloria's speech, I mean, I have to say I was sobbing. Mm. And then, like, in retrospect, the thing is, like, when I think about it critically, I'm like, do we really need another speech like that in a movie? And, like, was it super important? But, like, hearing those words for real in the film, just, it really does hit me in my soul. Yeah, and I thought it was really, really beautiful. I thought it was, like, predictable. But still love it.
Yeah.
I think that's the point. Like, when I was watching it, I think the first couple of lines that she delivered, I was like, okay, we knew that this was going to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. But the more that it went on, I think everything was really resonating with me. And even though we've had these conversations, even amongst ourselves, like, we've had these conversations before, maybe we've heard this kind of speech before, like, heard this sort of rhetoric before, there's something about her performance, but also the way that it was, like, structured.
Yeah. You know, that's so funny what you just said then. I saw that apparently Greta Gerwig, when they're on set, she closes her eyes often and just listens to the rhythm of how the lines have been delivered. And it's just made me think that was probably a big one that she did it on. Because I think, I agree, at first I was a bit like, okay, like, basically know what this whole speech is saying from the first line. Mm. But I did stay with it, and maybe it was because of that kind of, like, rhythm of it. And it did, like, it just worked in the end, despite me, like, everybody... No, like, yeah, we know what you're saying straight away.
Yeah.
But it still worked.
Her delivery of it was, like...
Yeah, incredible.
Incredible.
She really spells it out. And like we were saying before, like, this is a film that has resonated with men as well as women. And I'm sure men also have heard those speeches before as well. But I think that, like you say, like, maybe some people haven't, or it's just good to say it again. And, you know?
I definitely heard... a man go, yeah, but, like, that's the same for guys too. So then I was like, maybe this hasn't hit in the way that it needed to. Women need to be this and they need to be this. And I do think that's the truth of men. There is like pressures on men as well. Like, you know, societal pressures on men. But the point is that it's...
Just this one's about us.
Make your own movie then. And talk about your feelings in it.
My Greta Gerwig said... my Greta. She said... My hope for the movie is that it's an invitation for everybody to be part of a party and let go of the things that aren't serving us either as women or as men.
Yeah.
And it was a party. I think she's really nailed that whole sentence there. The whole film is quite a party.
It is.
Love that.
And find me under the lights. La 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 la. La 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 la.
For me... My only critical thought about this whole film, when we were watching it, and I've watched it a couple of times since as well, is I didn't like the last bit where they really try and drill in the message, where she's walking with the... Is it meant to be the creator of Barbie?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that part was a little bit too ramming down the throat. And
yeah.
I don't think the film needed it. Like, the message was clear.
Yeah.
We didn't need that for me.
Yeah. I also, like... I didn't love that part. I read something that Greta Gerwig was like, that absolute, for me to do this, that absolute has to be in it. Mm. Or the creator has to be. I don't know if it was like in that exact way.
Wait, are you talking about the bit where she goes, now close your eyes and feel?
I love that bit. And every time I watch the film, it makes me so... Really?
Is that the part that makes you cry?
Mm-hmm. It does, because I don't know, I feel like... I've had such a turbulent relationship with my femininity. Mm. And I don't know what it is about that moment and all these parts of like womanhood, girlhood, motherhood that you see. And it's just like, I feel so much resent over loads of these things at different points in my life. Like, when am I going to have a kid? And am I in a serious enough relationship? And am I going to have, like, you know, all these, like, things that I feel like, you know. And then, and also that make excellent movies, like turbulent relationships between mothers and daughters. And, you know, I feel like we're constantly seeing the struggle of womanhood and, like, love those films, want to be cast in them, great performances, like, would love to do that. But it's just like when you have like a really vulnerable moment just watching your life flash before your eyes in the most, I mean, and then Billie Eilish is all like...
Oh, yeah.
It just really gets me somewhere in my core that I don't really like acknowledge that often. So it really like melted my...
And do you think that if that part wasn't in there, that you wouldn't have come away from the cinema or from the viewing to have the same feelings unravel later?
Would have had the same feelings unravel, but I think it's just like in the orchestration of the building of the movie and then getting to that point, and then this heart song, this Billie Eilish song that we've been drip fed throughout, and then it really finally comes through and you see all of these like beautiful memories and thoughts, it like really worked on me. Like, it just, you know, like when you listen to a song and it builds and it builds and it builds and then it finally breaks, like, that is, I just feel like the rhythm, like, at that very moment, I could have just gone, this is a great movie, or I could have gone and cried into your chest for 5 minutes.
See?
Yeah.
And that's why I wasn't crying with you.
No, you were like, oh.
Okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying, definitely.
But everyone's different.
Yeah.
I feel like on the point about Ken and his storyline, mm-hmm. I completely think that Ryan Gosling stole the show. And I think he was absolutely amazing. And I am a little bit like, oh, that is like a slight shame that I honestly preferred all the Ken bits to the Barbie bits. Mm. Yeah, no, I think I did. Like, every time he's on screen, I'm like laughing like mad and just like having the best time. And like, sometimes I wasn't that when it was Barbie with Margot Robbie, which I'm like, oh, that's so annoying. Like, why can't she be hilarious? Why can't the lead be hilarious here? And I do feel like slightly frustrated by that, but I still love the film, but I just like hate that I prefer Ken.
The way I like to spin this though is that if Ryan Gosling is going to get his first ever leading actor Oscar amongst all of these other male performances in movies in the last year. And he gets it for playing Ken in Barbie, which is a role that a million people would have passed on, being like, I'm not being second to Barbie. Like, I think that that in the context of the Barbie movie, the fact that he's the favorite thing about it is like, oh, like, isn't this supposed to be for women about women? Like, but if you look at it in the grand scheme of like the world and like all of the other performances in the movies that, you know, men were in this year, I think that that's like the little bit that makes me really happy. Like, but if he did win, that's the thing that I think is like the coolest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is like all of these guys like having like, I don't know, just like, you know, the things that people do to get into character, like, and the months and months of prep that male actors just like can't stop talking about. and then you have like Ryan Gosling, who obviously worked just as hard, but for on a role that's like this childlike boy who doesn't understand the world, you know. I think that that's, there's something beautiful about that.
Yeah, definitely a lot of hyper masculinity around the types of role that like men want to do, and this one he's like taking the mick out of himself and also manhood.
Yeah it's, and he really... then goes and takes the Oscar. I'm like, that's cool to me. Yeah, that's exciting.
So again, this Maid has been a really long road. It's had lots of different iterations with different actors attached. Mm. So Mattel decided they wanted to start making movies about their toys and their products. And in 2009, they signed a deal with Universal Pictures. So at that point, one of the writers from Sex and the City was writing it. Then the writer of Juno came in to write it. This is the Barbie film now. Amy Schumer was attached to play Barbie.
Wasn't it with her production company at that point?
Oh.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she was attached, and it was like a fish out of water story about Amy Schumer as Barbie getting kicked out of Barbie land for not living up to the standard in some way. Mm. That got canned for whatever reason. Then Anne Hathaway was attached to play Barbie. Then the option then was expiring in 2018, and then Margot Robbie came in with Lucky Chap and brought in Greta Gerwig to write it, who then was going to direct it after she wrote it, and then Margot Robbie was attached to play Barbie. So it's taken a long time.
It is quite mad that it did take so long. Like, I wonder why, when it was like with Amy Schumer, like, why didn't it take off at that point? Because like, Barbie's always been huge.
For sure. I wonder if it's something to do with like the perfect storm of Margot's producing career being like at a really, really stunning place, where someone like Greta is like, even if Margot wasn't attached, would be like, I want to work with Lucky Chap, they make the most amazing movies, you know. Like, I mean, this is like, I haven't super researched the films that Amy Schumer had done at that point with her production company, but I think that's kind of the point. Like, I already know within like the household sort of, I don't know, you know, I just like, Lucky Chap is like now such a powerful production company, and they've had so many successes that she had the gusto to like make a really amazing movie with not just with her being attached as an actor, but being able to attract really great filmmakers, other really great actors, because she's like been doing that for so long, you know.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's a perfect storm of that. Like, when she got it, they had enough money to get the option. The company was big enough to like really just take this movie and run with it. And Mattel were comfortable enough with that as well. And Universal? No, Paramount.
It was Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers in the end.
Because then it was with David Heyman. So they... Yeah. I don't know if this is a fact that you've got, but Lucky Chap then partnered with Heyday Productions, David Heyman's company, because like, they're so much more experienced with those massive budgets. And then I think at that point they were like trusted with this like massive thing. Yeah, maybe it was just that Amy's company couldn't get that kind of budget.
to really pull it off.
Also, it might also be that it took a long time for Mattel to get into a point where they were making they were happy to make a film that did take the mick out of them a little bit.
You're right, because that was bold.
Yeah. And maybe they were a little bit more guarded at the start, and over time they've eased and realized that they do need to like have these things in there and for the filmmakers to have a bit more creative license to run with that.
Did you say 2008?
2009, yeah.
So, like, I mean, since then to now, we've had the whole Me Too movement.
Yeah.
Which, like, the whole industry is a different place now for a story like this, even. So, I mean, I'm not even saying that in relation to, like, why the film didn't get made then, but it's just, like, kind of thank God that we could make it in this climate and not that climate.
Yeah. Surely it's made for such a better film.
Yeah.
I love that Mattel were obviously up for having themselves as a character in it in the end.
Will Ferrell. Yeah. So brilliant.
So good. Also, slight tangent, but sex education characters. So there was...
Shruti Gatwa.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Emma Mackey.
And also with Mattel... Oh, what's his name? Connor.
Connor, yeah. Swindells.
Do you know anything? Is Greta Gerwig a fan of sex education?
Well, they filmed this in Leavesden. And it was over COVID, so people couldn't travel because Timothy Chalamet actually was meant to have a cameo. So was Saoirse Ronan. But they couldn't because of something to do with travel or whatever. But that's why there's a lot of British actors in this.
Justice for Emily Wood. Sorry.
I know. She would that's be a the great Barbie.
That's a great Barbie.
Feeling in for her. Also... Emerald Fennell as
Pregnant Barbie.
Yeah. What was her name?
Midge.
I didn't realise that till the second time watching it.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh?
That's so funny.
Wait, who is it that's like gets really scared by it? Oh, it's Will Ferrell. And he's like, oh. You're just creepy and wrong.
There's so many great cameos in this film.
Yeah, it's good.
I absolutely love Jamie Demetrio, who plays Will Ferrell's little sidekick, the like nervous one. He's in Satellite Flats. He's so funny. So funny. And Rob Brydon's in it for like 3 seconds.
Yes. It's really a special film. Yeah. What other cameos were spectacular? I mean, I really love John Cena as a mermaid. I still think that's brilliant.
That's so funny, though. I hadn't really put two and two together with most of those cameos being British people, British actors, or not even actors.
Yeah.
And love that for the Brits.
Yeah. If anybody was asked to be in this film, if they were available, I feel like it would be yes.
Oh, well, that's the tea. Like, didn't... Michael Cera's agent kind of be like, we don't know if you're really going to be into this.
Because it's a small role?
Because he played Alan. Alan. And he's like, this is kind of a small role and like, I'm not sure if it's really your thing. And then he read it and was like, oh my God, I have to do this.
I heard that he'd he asked for the role. Like,
oh.
Am I thinking of a different one? Anyway, he was keen either way.
The crux of it is like he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And he did.
Ryan Gosling was on the first choice. They offered to, or rather, maybe they were just in conversation with Dan Levy and Ben Platt. Dan Levy absolutely can see.
I guess his hair reminds me of Ken.
I actually can't even think who this is.
Ben Platt?
Theatre Camp.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah.
I can see it. It would be a totally different film. It would be like way more musical theatre. Mm. I mean, this was pretty musical theatre, actually. Yeah, I don't know.
I think because Ryan Gosling is still kind of cool,
No, that's so true. That is true, though. I think because he is cool and it's like... He's playing such a drastically different character to himself, where he's like, it just doesn't feel like that if it was Ben.
Yeah.
Or did you say the other person?
Dan Levy,
yeah.
Yeah, it's still like not, I don't know, there's still not that like drastic, like you just haven't seen him in that different characters. Well, I wish I have, but yeah.
It's like a different movie, really. It's a different movie.
It always is with the casting choices. Mm. So Mattel, as we mentioned, has decided to make this film universe out of all of their products, which when you hear that, it sounds very vulgar and quite grim. Mm. But I now see in Barbie, I'm excited for that. And the next one, or one that is being made at the moment, is Polly Pocket. So you mentioned Polly Pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lily Collins is playing Polly Pocket.
Yeah. Oh my God, oh, it's like all in the works.
And Lena Dunham is writing and directing it.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I had no idea. On Mattel, so we've got a list of all of the Mattel
IPs.
IP that's available. because we were having a look.
Okay.
No, all the good ones have gone. But
there's 45 films
already in like development.
Yeah.
Well, one that I was like, oh my God, what would be a good one? I thought Barney the Dinosaur was on the list, and I was like, oh my God, I feel like we can
make something really,
do something
brilliant.
Really funny. Anyway, it's taken.
Gone.
It's gone.
Who took it?
I don't know.
The other one that I know is being made at the moment or in development is J.J. Abrams is doing Hot Wheels. I don't know where the character arc is for Hot Wheels, but I'm looking forward to
cars from Wish. No.
If you were going to play any toy or
or cartoon character.
Yeah.
Betty Boop.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the tea is that Betty Boop, the character, was based off of a black woman and then it was like sort of made into this like sexy little white girl. But that could also be a great
story. That's the story,
yeah. We're doing some investigative journalism on that.
Cool. And what about you? What would you?
Probably Barney.
Yeah. Wait, to play Barney?
Yeah.
No, as in make it or play it.
No, play it.
Play.
Right. Yeah. What about you?
I think the only toy that I can remember playing with when I was little was Stretch Armstrong. So I can go. I think Stretch Armstrong, to be honest.
I think you'd be great.
Let me just get into character.
I didn't see one.
Okay, any final thoughts on Barbie?
I love how much everybody loves this, no matter who they are, what they are. And like, it's just like a really good, fun film, which I've heard quite a few times already.
I think you think it's fun.
I think it's a lot of fun. No, I'm like a little bit sad that we didn't make it. Because obviously it's so iconic and it was like immediately iconic.
And like, obviously we could have done a better job.
Obviously we would have made it so much better.
Like I think we would have like broken even more records, yeah. Honestly.
You'd be on 2.5 billion.
It's also just quite like, of course Margot Robbie was going to be Barbie. Like she literally looks like Barbie.
She's
like
so Barbie.
Yeah, it's just mad. Like what are they going to do next to top that?
I just have a lot of time for this movie and I think that it's really special. And when people say otherwise and like just trash it a little too much, I do feel like there's a little pocket of magic that they're just ignoring about this movie. And I think all of these opinions are like welcomed and they're important, but I think that at the heart of it, this film is good and it's done a lot of good and it's important to people and it's like really shaken up the industry and like that's always, always positive. Mm. So yeah, we'll probably buy it and add it to my iTunes.
Yeah, I agree with everything. I'm so excited to see what they do next, what Greta Gerwig does next, always, obviously. But I just think that Margot Robbie is an absolute force. And hearing her speak about this incredible, monumental film that she's made whilst playing Barbie, the ditz, and like being this beautiful blonde woman is amazing. And yeah, I'm just excited to see what they do next. And what they do next is she's producing a film called My Old Ass, Tank Girl. She's a producer on Ocean's 11 film.
Yeah.
Oh. And a film called Naughty.
Naughty, I've just looked up, is being directed by Olivia Wilde.
Ooh.
Interessant.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
Let us know what you thought about Barbie. Yes, we're late to the party, but it's still a great party. So let us know what you thought and follow us on social media. And we will be back next week with our second episode of this series. And we're not going anywhere soon, so tune in.
Thank you so much for watching this episode, and thank you so much to Propercorn for bringing you this episode. Next week, we're going to be chatting about Twilight, where we're going to be snacking on more gorgeous things. So keep an eye out on our social media for some fun watch-along content there before the episode comes out. And we'll see you next week for more Frank Film Club.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.